everybody starts off in cloud FinOps at a crawl perspective because you know what you've got. You may not know what to do with it, which is why you're crawling. From a SaaS perspective, well, you're still hanging out in the crib because you don't even know how to crawl yet because you don't know what you've got.
Welcome to SaaS Me Unfiltered, everyone. Today's episode is very special. We are coming to you live and in person from FinOps X 2025 in San Diego. I have Xylo co-founder Ben Pippinger with us today. He is stepping in for Corey Wheeler, who is at another event and couldn't be with us. Ben, so good to see you in person.
Yeah, great to be here. Happy to be in San Diego.
All right. So the FinOps Foundation has recently incorporated SaaS into its FinOps framework. And FinOps professionals, they really possess the expertise and the mindset to be incredibly successful in managing SaaS. But a big question starts to loom for those FinOps professionals. What are the differences between managing cloud and managing SaaS? What are the blind spots and the gotchas to watch out for? How do you apply the FinOps principles and framework to SaaS? To explore these questions in more detail, I am so excited to introduce today's guest, also with us in the studio, Ridge Fussell, the Senior Manager of FinOps at the Home Depot. Welcome to SaaS Me Unfiltered, Ridge.
Thanks for having me. This is going to be a blast.
Okay, so before we dig in, let's set the record straight on managing SaaS and managing cloud, because there are differences that FinOps professionals need to know as they start to wrap their head around this. Okay, Ridge, what are the differences between SaaS and cloud?
So I would tell you, having been in the cloud space for a couple of years now, the beauty about that is that you actually know what you're dealing with. You've got one source of information. It's coming from your cloud provider, and you have a base of knowledge that you can build off of. And really the problem there is, what do you do with it? How do you allocate it and that kind of thing? With a SaaS perspective, you don't even know what that looks like, right? And I can tell you, whether people think or don't think they have a problem, I'm promising you do have a problem, because you don't know what you've got in the environment. And that's part of the big issue here is SaaS from a FinOps perspective is not just taking what you know and allocating it out or understanding that. It's actually bringing it in so that you know what you've got. And that's got to be the first step of this thing, because without knowing what you've got in your environment, there's no way you can control it, manage it, or allocate it.
So visibility crucial.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'll dig into that then. Yeah. So, Rich.
I'm not used to being in person here, so this is like, we got to figure this out.
So you said you've been managing cloud for a couple of years before you started managing SaaS. When you think about doing that in an organization like Home Depot, it's got to come with its own set of challenges. In both practices, you're trying to maximize business value and the ROI you're getting from the investment that you're making. But how you do it is different. How you do it between cloud and SaaS is definitely different tactics, different skill sets. You were successfully managing your cloud spend and usage before you implemented SaaS management. So what assumptions had you made before you started down your SaaS management journey that you know now are false?
Absolutely. I would tell you successfully is probably a loose term. We were doing an ample job at managing cloud, but hopefully we're going to get much better after coming to FinOps X. But from a SaaS perspective, we presume that coming into it, we kind of knew everything, right? Mm-hmm. When Xylo first partnered with us, one of the questions was, how bad do you think the problem is? And our response, kind of smart alecky or not, was, oh, we think we probably got most of it under control, right? We knew there would be some things out there, but we thought we had a pretty good handle on it. And we had no idea. And so one of the presumptions around that is, you don't know what you've got, even though you think you do. Pulling that data in and starting to understand it is one step of this. But then the other presumption was, well, even when we find everything that's out there, we will know who owns everything, which has been another problem. And it's been a year-long battle of trying to go out there and find everything that we've got. And you know, without getting to the numbers, it's multiples of what we thought we had.
Yeah.
Anything outside of the space, in our case, technology that we didn't own, we now have to go hunt it down and figure out, who owns this? How are they paying for it? Where are the contracts? How many do we have? Who's using it? How many different tools do we have that do the same thing, right? And we don't know any of that stuff. And so From a FinOps perspective, it's, again, trying to gather all that information together so that you can start managing it similar to cloud,
yeah.
But it's several steps before you can actually get to that point.
And follow-on question to that, so when you think about the stuff you don't own, how has that been going out and find, like, even when you find the person, are you able to go in and say, hey, we're starting a SaaS management program, this is what's going on, or is that?
Well, the difficulty is finding them, first of all, because fortunately for that area, I came out of a finance space where we actually owned a lot of the renewals and acquisitions and whatnot. So we had a pretty good process in place. When you step outside of that, where it's a controlled environment, you no longer know how people are processing or renewing things, right? And unfortunately, you would find somebody got an invoice, it's due in a week, and they just processed it and went on, right? You only get in touch with that person that processed it, and they're not really the owner. It's just they're the person that somebody handed an invoice to, and they processed it without really understanding what the tool is actually for. So trying to implement that process for everybody has been really, really difficult. And we're making strides on that because everybody, as we reach out to them, they get it, right? You explain to them, here's how much spend we're talking about. And it's not a small number, but here's the spend. Here's what we're trying to do from a SaaS perspective, and we need your help in order to get this under control. Everybody gets it. Nobody wants to waste money intentionally. So when you explain to them that we're trying to reduce licensing or we're trying to reduce tools or we're trying to just get a better handle around contracts and what we've got, they accept that and want to work with you. And we've gone about it with the mindset of partnership, not coming in and with a lead hammer and just banging them on the head and saying, we're taking this over, right?
Yeah.
That's not the intention of FinOps in any structure. But we certainly have tried to partner with these people. And as we go through training sessions now and we're teaching them about the tool and having meetings with them, you can actually see people getting excited about this of, wow, I can actually have some visibility into what I've got because we're giving them an opportunity to see license usage and utilization that they've never seen before.
Mm-hmm.
They knew they had X number of licenses. They really didn't know who had them. They didn't know who had them and weren't using them. They didn't know how many had been given out, and they had left the company already, right? Now they're getting some of that visibility.
Yeah, so it's sort of like carrot and a stick approach, where you bring the dollars and cents, so they can say, hey, this is something we're trying to focus on. Here's the proof. Here's how much we're spending. It's way too much. Here's the benefit by you doing this. It's what you just described, the visibility, the reporting, the capabilities you bring forward to get them sort of, okay, seeing through this, and now let's realize the value here and see some real results.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I love the partnership approach. One of the challenges I think we hear from a lot of enterprise companies that we're talking to is that change management. And you guys really took a partnership approach. You're getting people excited about that. Was that an idea that came from your team? Is that just the culture of Home Depot? How did that approach come about?
It's interesting that you bring it up because it's actually all of those things, right? The Home Depot is an amazing company, and it is focused around everybody working together. We have this mindset of an inverted pyramid where leadership is at the bottom of the pyramid supporting everybody else all the way down to the frontline associates in the stores. And so it's that same mentality that we as a SaaS FinOps COE is there to support everybody else and help them do their jobs better. Taking some of that collaborative effort that we've had in the cloud space, because FinOps as a practice is a lot of different people working together. It's not, you know, it's not a groups in a room, shut the door, feed them under the door and let them do their thing, right? This is a whole collaborative group that works together. And we've just taken that and applied it to the SaaS environment so that we've got people from security, architecture, engineering, procurement, finance, all of us are working together because we've all got the common goal of trying to get this under control and manage better so that, I don't want to say to save money, but to really just be more optimized and efficient with how we're spending our money. One of the things that we talk about a lot of is I'm not interested necessarily in trying to go out there and save a bunch of money. While it would be nice, and it's certainly a goal of ours, we have found more about applications that we don't know anything about is the security risk around it.
Yeah.
Right? So I joke around that people can sit around at night on Instagram and find a project management tool they like and hit a button, and in about 15 seconds, they bought a license for something that's not gone through any type of reviews.
It's so easy. It's so easy to be a buyer.
Yeah. And so quite honestly, we're looking at this now not just as a potential cost savings opportunity, but as a risk mitigation opportunity.
Well, Rich, the other day, I was talking to J.R. Stormont, who runs the FinOps Foundation, and he said something that really stuck with me. He said, cloud has known knowns, SaaS has unknown unknowns. I think it's a perfect way of sort of describing what you were just talking about a little bit around not knowing what you have and all the things that you'll be able to uncover now that you have visibility into what's going on from a SaaS perspective. Are there other specific areas where you feel like you had unknowns or maybe more information on the security gaps that you have that you guys have been able to uncover at the Home Depot?
Yeah, well, so, you know, I can go through a whole laundry list of these things, right? Security is a big one, right? We talk about it doesn't really matter how much you pay for an application. You can pay $500 for an application, pay $5 million for an application. They've got the same risk to them, particularly if you don't know what they're being used for, right? Mm-hmm. And when you look at a large-scale operation, risk is risk. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what you do with it and how it occurs. It's going to drive problems within the organization. So that's certainly one of them. And we have identified a significant amount of applications that we've just got to go through and get the reviews done, right? And probably in most cases, nothing's going to change. They're probably okay. The keyword being probably, right? We'd rather it be definitely okay. I think the cost factor comes in because, again, large-scale operation, you expect that you're going to have negotiated contracts where, you know, for a certain spend or quantities or whatnot, you're going to get the best pricing. Well, when you've got different people out there buying different things and buying small quantities, I can almost guarantee you you're paying rack rates and not taking advantage of the buying power that you've got, especially a company the size of Home Depot. And then third, I think probably that just that lack of management of around the quantity of tools, right? You go out there and you find that, you know, I don't have just one or two project management tools.
Yeah.
I got 20. And I don't care what organization you are, you cannot manage 20 project management tools where they're all talking to each other. And that's kind of the point of project management is for everybody to be working together. And so I think as you go through and start picking out these areas or silos of spaces, you absolutely see time and time again, I don't know what I've got out there. You know, what I do know is great, and that's wonderful. But when you step outside of the area where you had it managed for so long, you realize you don't know anything.
Yeah.
And we were talking about this a little while ago. I don't talk about this stuff trying to convince anybody that, well, you don't know that you've got a problem. I'm telling you, you've got a problem.
Yeah.
You just don't know that it's a problem yet. Until you start going down this path and trying to identify everything that's out there.
Yeah, over the course of time at Xylo, I mean, I've talked to and worked with a lot of customers and prospects, and some of them have told me, like, we know everything. Like, we don't have a problem. We have complete visibility. And
we were just talking about that.
Were you?
Yeah.
And I know, like, from working with you guys, I got a chance to work pretty closely with Riz during implementation and everything else. You have a very thorough process from a buying and security review and everything else that goes into everything that's being used at the Home Depot. And there still is a problem, like because just the way that SaaS works, anyone can buy it. They can put it on a credit card. Departments can go around the process to go buy stuff. And until you get that level of visibility and then put the governance in place to then have a process that has not just do this or else, but then also, and we're sort of watching and know if something else happens, then we're going to come back around and fix those issues and make sure we're adapting, I guess, as the world changes.
And that's exactly, we're not trying to take any power away from anybody. We're not wanting to take ownership away from anybody. In fact, one of the things we're doing is identifying owners for all of these things because we don't want to own it from a SaaS COE perspective. We don't want to own these things because we're not the business that's getting the benefit out of it. What we're wanting to do is make sure that everybody's following a similar process so that it goes through step by step. And we've actually created a very nice, we call it the four steps, but you know, the 120, 90, 60, 30 days from either renewal or acquisition, here's the things you need to be doing to more efficiently spend the Home Depot dollars. We still want you to maintain your ownership and your responsibility for the tools. We just want everybody to follow so that we know what we've got out there, right?
Yep.
And so we hope to get at some point where nothing slips through the cracks. We still want to empower you to do whatever it is you need to do, but we're just putting a couple of little speed bumps. We're not roadblocking anything, just little speed bumps to help you along the way so that we're following the Home Depot process on software acquisitions.
And this comes back to what you said at the start. cloud is sort of here going inside going out, mm-hmm. where you're getting the cloud spend and you're sort of putting it out. What you're describing here is like, no, all this stuff is happening in the world of Home Depot with people buying software. We're just trying to put governance and visibility in so we know what's going on to make sure right. that we're doing it with as least amount of risk and as financially responsible as we can.
Yeah, and that quite honestly, that's where the FinOps principles kick in, is once you've got it all from outside in, once you've got it similar to the cloud spend, then you implement the FinOps process, mm-hmm. and everything works. It doesn't matter if you call it cloud or SaaS or data center or whatever else you want to call it. Once you've got it all there, then you can start pushing it out and allocating it and providing governance. But until you bring it all in, you don't even know what your problem looks
yep.
like.
Well, Ridge, I want to back up for a moment and talk about how you got started, because you've been managing SaaS before it was officially part of the FinOps framework. At Xylo, we have a SaaS management framework. We take a crawl, walk, run strategy. And what that really means is that you can build a methodical approach that helps you start to build the foundation for your SaaS management program. It's going to help you so you can operationalize the program and hopefully run someday. Right. In some of our past conversations, you said most companies are not even crawling yet. They're still in the crib, which I thought was just a great line. So what's step one for getting out of the crib and starting to move?
Yeah, that's a great question. So my background is from finance, and I've been working in technology finance for 26, almost 27 years. And as a part of that, you just naturally grow into managing technology assets, whether it's, you know, data center stuff, hardware, software. And that old world of perpetual software or even subscription software, as they started migrating over, it was a little bit easier because you kind of controlled that. Your technology teams managed it because they had to go into a data center. So you had to have a lot of engagement with your technology team. So you really didn't have a lot of stuff going on outside that you needed to worry about. Well, just over the last, you know, several years, as vendors have shifted from that perpetual process and on-prem methodology to a SaaS environment or to a subscription environment, it's required us to start looking at it a lot differently. And so we started actually doing that a couple of years ago, just trying to manage it better internally to IT, right? Mm-hmm. Looking at where the renewals are coming, when they're coming up, trying to get ahead of them, trying our best to do some of the license counts and stuff like that. And you can do that with some of the larger purchases. You know, everybody knows the vendors that are large purchases. You can do some of that, but you're not really good at it. When we finally got to a place where we convinced leadership that we need to go get a tool for this, right? It wasn't until that point that we thought we had a problem, or that we knew we had a problem, right? And so that mindset of crawling, I think you can only crawl once you know what data you've got to deal with, right? Again, going back to the example of, you know, outside in, inside out, once you've got it all merged, I think everybody starts off in cloud FinOps at a crawl perspective because you know what you've got.
Mm-hmm.
You may not know what to do with it, which is why you're crawling, right?
Yeah.
That's
but
really interesting.
From a SaaS perspective, you know, I always think of crawl, walk, run as a child developing, right? Well, you're still hanging out in the crib because you don't even know how to crawl yet because you don't know what you've got. And so we went out, and quite honestly, we talked to several vendors and competitors of Xylo, and how do you do this and that kind of stuff. And we narrowed it down, did some POC work, and chose Xylo. And, you know, I'll be honest with you, we chose Xylo because the tool was great, but the team was wonderful, right? And the reason that matters, and I say this with Ben sitting here, and I don't want to puff his ego or anything, but
we love building up Ben's ego. It's great.
When you've got a group of people that are willing to work with you,
yeah,
and, you know, and Home Depot, I realize that we can kind of be a tough client because, you know, we're the Home Depot. We're big. We expect to.
You know, tough clients make you better.
And so we'd go ask things, and Ben or Corey or whoever will respond to it and say, yeah, we'll go figure this out, right? And Ben, even though he's moved on to a different, I don't even know what it is you actually do now, but he's not.
It's all
Ben
phase.
Doesn't know what he's saying. Even though we've moved on and Ben's doing other things outside of just our account, he was very involved with a large agreement we just had, right?
Yeah.
And we saved a lot of money off of that because we were able to go out there, see what we actually had, what we were using, and actually reduce license counts. And so I would argue that we're probably out of the crib. You know, I have this image of, you know, like hanging off the side and maybe trying to, you know, hit the ground or something. But I think we're getting there, right? And the crawl aspect of this thing is really what we're working on now, implementing that four-step renewal process, implementing some type of security reviews. One of the things that's amazing to me is contract repositories, making sure all of those are in one place. And so I think we're doing a lot of those things now that I would characterize as crawl.
They're going to fuel the crawl.
And
those are capabilities, FinOps capabilities. So you know.
Yeah. And I had somebody tell me probably a year ago, because I was very disappointed that as the Home Depot, we were not walking or running from a cloud perspective. And he told me, he goes, nobody is.
Yeah.
Nobody's running. Because you can be doing different stages for every aspect of your business, right? You might be walking here, you might be crawling there. And so that kind of helped me understand it's okay. It's okay to stay in the crib. It's okay to be in the crawl, right? You just got to constantly make in progress.
Yeah.
And I feel that's where we are. Every time we have our internal steering committee meetings, I just feel good coming out of that now because I show progress and I can say, here's what we're doing and here's our next steps and here's where
we are.
And oh, by the way, contract negotiation saved X amount of dollars. I feel really good for the work that we're doing and it's just awesome.
Partnership is so much part of the culture at Home Depot. It's very much part of the culture at Xylo, and we're, you know, just so thrilled to be alongside the journey with you all on this. I loved hearing about kind of where you guys were before you purchased a platform, you know, to now in that kind of hanging off the crib side of it. But if you had to start over, there's a lot of people listening today that have never done this before. They're getting ready to start off. If you had to start over, what is that one thing you would do differently?
Home Depot is an amazing company. But we also expect that we're going to be amazing for everything, mm-hmm. right? And so we will often take on really, really big tasks and try to do it all at once and boil the ocean. Probably if I could go back 15, 16 months when we started this, I'd probably start with a smaller subset. You know, you still got to go identify what you've got. But once you've done that, we actually started off, we set a watermark for a certain spend level, and everything above that is what we focused on. I would probably take that higher or focus on maybe the top 10, 12, 15, something like that, and go and nail those down and get those really, really good.
Yep.
And then move on to another set. I think us trying to do a lot all at one time made it really difficult. And we learned through this process, right? And so we've kind of backed up a little bit, and you know, we had some stop and starts and some changes in methodology, but we've now got it where we have a daily scrum meeting where we walk through and say, where are we with these things? How have we got them connected? We have a separate conversation around renewals for those big high value items now, kind of doing that, what we should have done a year ago. We've taken those things and said, okay, where are we with these? And we've actually brought in the process, the contract negotiations and, you know, utilizations and that kind of stuff, training on the tool. We've built a process around that as well so that we can work through those things as we move. Now, it's going to take us a long time to get through our entire list, right? But we can hit those big guys that are going to matter for a long time, and we can get those going right. So, 'cause once you get it integrated, you get your utilization, you get people to understand the process, you're kind of good to go for them going forward. You just have to get them going once a year to look at their renewals and check their utilization, that kind of stuff. And then you can just focus on the new things that pop up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that really is the big thing, is I would say I don't want people to baby step everything.
Yeah.
But just recognize, once you identify how big your playground is, just pick one thing to play on, right? Deal with that, move on to the next one. You'll eventually get there. I can promise you, from the size of the applications that we had, it's going to take us just as long to do it the way we did it as if we'd have just went through and done smaller chunks.
So start with the swings before you move on to the slide.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What and quite honestly, you can do it whatever's a high value, right?
Yeah.
You may identify, and I had heard at SASME, somebody had spoken, they said, I think it was Expedia, they were saying, we did four.
Yeah.
We picked four applications. And my initial reaction was, oh my gosh, that would take freaking forever. But then I got, as I started thinking about it and started listening more to it, it makes a lot of sense because you can knock four of them out really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And I've gotten now where, you know, I will go through shifting my role over from finance into architecture. I've now gotten some time where I can actually dedicate, and I'll just go out there and I'll find one or two that we need to do some work on, and I'll carve out time and go do them. You can knock them out if you really focus and get it done. It's much easier to do a handful of them than trying to do a big block of them.
Yeah. Prioritizing those applications.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, I think that's a great way to start because you can show the value and then bring the value to the business, then continue with the program and continue building it and build more into it. I think I got one more question here for you, and that's when I think about, so this is my second year at FinOpsX. I came last year as just an attendee to sort of see what was going on. The FinOps Foundation added SaaS licensing as a capability last year, so we were like, what is this FinOps thing? Let's get out there and check it out. This year, we're here and we're sponsoring, and I think about the agenda last year versus the agenda this year. I was just flew in this morning, was looking at the agenda on my phone. Last year, I think there was maybe one session on SaaS that mentioned SaaS in the title. This year, there's a number of them from sort of all different types of presenters, people like us here presenting as vendors, but then also practitioners bringing forward topics and bringing those out.
Right.
And what I see there is like FinOps as a practice has grown with the addition of scopes into the framework. And for FinOps practitioners themselves, it seems a great opportunity professionally to sort of spread their wings a little bit, figure out, okay, we've been able to prove out that this is a practice that allows us to run the cloud effectively inside of our business. Now we need to think about how else we can do it. I mean, how do you view that? Do you view this as a moment in time for the FinOps practitioners to really take advantage of these new capabilities? Or what should they be doing to really grow professionally and sort of grow their overall responsibilities at their work?
Yeah, I will tell you, for me personally, like I said, we started this a couple years ago in the cloud space.
Mm-hmm.
And I can now, I'm calling it FinOps Lite.
Yeah.
We were being very reactive to everything, right? We find a problem, go fix it, move on. Just in the last couple months, I've shifted my role over into IT, into an architecture group under our chief architect, because we've gotten a lot of interest out of leadership of actually building this out, making it more robust, mm-hmm. and rolling it across multiple things, whether it's, you know, making more robust cloud management, the SaaS management, continue that, data centers, databases. There's so many other things mm-hmm. that you can actually apply this same methodology to. I would tell people that if you're going down the cloud FinOps path, you recognize the value that you can get out of going through this process. And you can actually take that and roll it into anything else. It just so happens they've added SaaS into this, so it makes it really nice because you got a lot of available information. You know, mm-hmm. there's assets out on the FinOpsX website. There's a lot of stuff you can learn. And Meredith and I were talking about this morning. I've already learned enough today that I could take away and say this has been a success.
Probably
the biggest takeaway I've had today is there are a lot of other people in the same boat I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
And there are people that have figured it out. They those are the ones you're here to hopefully learn from, right? But everybody has the same problems that everybody else has. And nobody's figured out how to solve all of them. And so when you can actually in an organization like FinOpsX, take and go find people that have had SaaS problems. And you can go ask them, hey, man, mm-hmm. what'd you do? How did you go about fixing this problem? Now you've got an organization and a community of people that can help you with this. And I can tell you I think it's a great career move because SaaS isn't going away. It gives you a place where you can take those things you've been learning for the last couple of years
yeah.
and apply it to something else and get the same type of results. Because there's a lot of people doing some great things in cloud. Take that and apply it to other areas.
Mm-hmm.
And SaaS is a great one because I can promise you, you got a problem.
Yep.
And if you'll take it, apply it to that, whether or not you save any money, whether or not you reduce quantities of licenses or quantities of tools, whether or not you do any risk mitigation, I promise you it's going to be better when you're done than it is today.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the big thing for me is, you know, everything that we do, we want to make it better.
Yeah.
Right. My dad used to tell me if you borrow a tool, I'll tell a quick story. He borrowed a wheelbarrow from me many, 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 many years ago. And he returned it to me. and it looked like it was brand new. And he had repainted it. And he told me, he said, "You every time you borrow something, you return it better than you found it." Same thing is true with the SaaS stuff or cloud stuff or whatever you do it with. Even if you don't find all of these areas where you think you can save money or mitigate risk or reduce contracts or whatever, make it better than when you started it. And that's a win for any company. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter how big you are. Mm-hmm. You can have five applications, you can have 5,000. Mm-hmm. If you make it better than it was when you started, that's a win.
Rich, your dad is a wise man. This has been such a great conversation. Seriously, thank you for being so open in sharing your FinOps and SaaS management journey. You've given us a look at the reality of managing SaaS and how to start a program and a real path forward. And that is exactly what FinOps professionals need right now. So excited to get into more of FinOpsX this week. As you've shared with us today, this is such a fantastic community that we're so thrilled to be a part of. But thank you for being here with us today on SaaS Me Unfiltered, sharing your insights and honestly just sharing your incredible leadership and helping others develop that for their companies as well.
So, well, thanks for having me. I've really enjoyed this. It's been a lot of fun.